one does.
Aww.
I know I may be young, but I've got feelings too, and I need to do what I feel like doing, so let me go and just listen. All your people look at me like I'm a little girl, but did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Always saying, little girl, don't step into the club. Well, I'm just trying to find out why, 'cause dancing's what I love.
Now watch me. Get it, get it, get it, get it.
Ooh.
Get it, get it. Do you like it?
Whoa.
Get it.
It
just feels good.
I know I may come off quiet.
Good evening, Jennifer.
Good evening, Ed.
Good evening, Josh.
Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. We're back for yet another week. We are going to just yet another week, as if it's like a punishment.
Last week I was listening to last week's podcast, and the way Josh talked to me about me, it's like I died. I swear. I'm like, I'm not dead.
We were just mourning your absence.
Yeah, I was eulogizing your absence.
Calm down. Too much of anything is a bad thing, even Ed. And lettuce.
Okay.
Too much lettuce is a bad thing.
Wow.
Too much lettuce is a bad thing.
Well, quick aside. My step aunt ate a salad every single day for like 10 years.
Uh-huh.
Apparently her intestines have gotten so scraped away by the lettuce that if she eats any more, it could cause serious internal damage. So too much lettuce is a bad thing.
Well, there you go.
So everything in moderation. I think that's our lesson for the night.
Yeah, I got nothing on that one. That's kind of insanity.
Wow. I might have to ask you later what type of lettuce, because I'm mildly concerned myself.
Well, dude, you don't eat it every single day for 10 years, have you? Come on.
Have I?
5 out of 7.
Control yourself.
Jennifer eats a lot of salad.
Sorry. Mostly
point.
Spinach, though.
it was mainly iceberg.
I don't have
iceberg.
Iron in my
but
diet.
I hate iceberg anyway, so
it's
who does
water.
That?
It's just water. Okay.
I know, right?
Thank you.
Well, that's good to know. Well, we opened up with Slave for You because our theme this week, our discussion point this week, will be Miss Brittany S. Pierce. I guess, Ed, you had said that you put on Facebook that we might talk about Darren, and everybody said, no, we want Brittany.
No, I don't recall that, but I remember people did request Brittany.
Yes,
people
they did.
People are like, well, you can't do Lima Heights adjacent without
without Brittany.
Yeah, diary readers, enthusiasts.
There you go. Well, you know, we were talking about what we're going to name this episode, and we just got an email from listener Amanda, who said her favorite Brit moment was, my uncle lost his job and his goat was hungry, so I spent my money on food for the goat. I mean, sort of. The goat just ate the money. So I think the name of this episode might have to be My Uncle's Goat.
Or The Goat Ate the Money.
That's good, too.
Yeah.
And you had, Ed, you had the journaling...
The cat journal readers enthusiast club.
There you go.
I don't know. It was kind of on the same vein of the Rachel Berry drunk party extravaganza. Like, it's like ridiculously long title, but it like epic in proportion. It's like, ZOMG. Cat journal reading.
Totally. Well, and we also want to acknowledge, we do have listener Michael in the room with us tonight.
Hello,
listener Michael.
Hello.
Listener Michael can hear Josh and Jen's side of the conversation and not Ed's, so this must sound truly bizarre as he sits in the room.
Yeah.
And I also would like to point out to the listeners, though we have one listener on the line who's been in our apartment and have another listener in our apartment at the moment, that doesn't mean you all get to come to our apartment. Okay?
It's the Josh and Jen hostel.
Exactly. So
I mean, I kind of went there like a hostel. It's like, I don't have a place to stay and I'm in LA. So what up, people?
If we had a nickel for every person that stayed on our sofa,
you'd have like $3.
Well, it would be more than we'd be making now.
It's been a weird time for our friends and family.
What you're saying is we have lots of unemployed friends.
Transitional friends.
Fun employed or seeking better opportunities.
Fun employed. That's wow.
Well, have I told my Slave for You story on the show before, Jennifer?
Please.
I told better my story
quick,
about
the cops
sleeping.
Are coming.
Okay, yes, that was not in your car. That
See,
was
Michael,
next
they
door.
Really exist out there. It's not us, but the...
It's like real all of a sudden. I used to be a DJ on a cruise ship, and I played. It was when Slave for You was at the height of its popularity, and I probably
so what
played
is it,
it
like 2002?
Mm-hmm. I think 2003, maybe.
Yeah, 2001. Well, on a cruise ship, you got to figure cruise
2002,
ships,
you're probably right, because we were, had all these crazy 9/11 rules go into effect while I was there.
But cruise ships are about a good 12 to 18 yes. months behind on fashion and music.
It was September 2001 was the release date of I'm a Slave
yeah.
for
so
You.
So sometime around there. So yes, and Slave for You was the big song at the time, and I had to play it like 3 times a night. But my rule was I wouldn't play it more than once every 2 hours because, you know, it, as far as Britney goes, it's not a bad song. But, you know, man, seriously, you know, if I'm gonna have to play it every hour, every night of the week, which is what
Josh
I did,
is like
I
the only DJ that I ever knew that he has so many ridiculous rules. Just give the people what they want. If they want to hear
but they,
Bills, 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 if they want to hear Independent Women Part 2, just let them.
I will play it, but I can only play it so much, or people are like, oh, seriously, this song again? Because people only go into the disco for like 20 minutes at a time. Like, most people are in there for 20 minutes at a time, but some people are in there all night long, including myself, and I own a weapon. So I have to like...
What, a stack of CDs?
Yeah, man, that's the thing. You like a your laptop? Weapon? Like a cell phone from like the 1940s? Like, yes. What do you want?
So, sure enough, I played Slave for You, and 15 minutes later, a young lady came in and begged me to play Slave for You again, and I said no. And then, apparently, some guy that she'd met that night, who had taken a shine to her and had just won $5,000 on the last night of the cruise in the casino, handed me $200 and said, play Slave for You. So,
she said no, and you said no.
I played the crap out of it, and I played anything else she wanted.
Josh can be bought. That's our second lesson for the night.
Okay, everyone has their price. Sometimes it's a little bit higher, sometimes it's not so high.
Yes.
But that was like, what, half of your week's wage?
That was more than half of what I made that week.
Seriously.
In one tip to play a cheesy song. But it was, so there
you
go. You
would have done more for less. Don't lie.
Oh, he has.
Whoa. Okay. Well, before we get too far into our Britney discussion, this showed up on Funny or Die this week, and we should definitely take a listen to this piece of work here.
Exclusive. Hey, Matt. I'm really excited for our first carpool together.
Oh, me too, me too.
Just a couple of good pals going green.
Right, well, to be fair, Jaden, carpooling is only a small solution to a much greater problem. We could all do a lot more.
Yeah. Is that what your little flower taught you?
Look at that. Put on some tunes. Oh, I love this song. You mind if I warm up for a couple bars? I got a big tour coming up.
No, go ahead.
Oh yeah, reconsider your foolish notion.
This part coming up.
Cause I gotta have faith, faith, faith. Oh, I gotta have faith.
Religious conversations make me uneasy. If you don't mind, I'd like to change the station.
So that is on Funny or Die this week came out Carpool with Matthew Morrison and Jane Lynch. They proceed to drive in a carpool, and Matthew Morrison makes a huge fool of himself singing operatically to everything from Faith to Nookie to I think he does some Nine Inch Nails at the end of the video. It's pretty darn good as far as the Glee Funny or Die presence. They have a pretty strong presence.
Oh yeah.
And it almost,
well, she's awesome too.
Yeah, it's almost like when you hold it up against like nothing but a Glee thing, which we'll talk about in a second, it's not quite as good, but still Carpool is pretty hilarious. And it's funny to see Matthew Morrison, who doesn't strike me as, you know, having quite the sense of humor that some of them the other ones might have. Jennifer, what did you think of this Funny or Die video with Matt Morrison and Jane Lynch?
I thought it was hysterical. Although I couldn't get over the fact that he was driving a hot pink Beetle.
Yes. With a fake yellow flower.
My beetle has a fake yellow flower.
I was like, doesn't
of course, real flowers don't survive in beetles, Josh.
I saw you drive that beetle, Josh. Whatever.
Did I say... You did, actually. Did
Josh
I say,
is really cute driving my car.
Did I say fake yellow flower with in my judgmental tone?
No, but
or
why
is
not?
It always my judgmental tone?
Everything that comes out of your mouth.
I guess it's just you. I guess it's always your judgmental tone.
My judgmental tone. And have you seen the carpool video on Funny or Die?
Unfortunately, I didn't, but I have seen it on. Oh no, they didn't, and I just kept meaning to see it, and then I never did, and I was hoping you weren't going to talk about it until I saw it, and then it turns out you did. So to fail, Josh. Way to fail.
What is Jennifer's making like sign
language?
I'm
doing
over
sign
here.
Language over here. I don't
it's
know.
Like the hamster dance.
For some.
And now her and she forgot to turn her phone off for the
I
show.
I did, but it's off. It's okay. Okay. You know what? Just random stuff. I had a very big star sighting this week.
Oh, you did have a giant star sighting this week.
I was buying shoes in Studio City at a little shop. And next
you don't want
to
me
be,
to say what the store is?
Well, I don't think the person wants to be, you know, like told where
it
they
was
shop.
At a Marshall's.
And that I don't care why that was there. Mrs. Idina Menzel was standing next to me trying on the same shoes.
Yes, and she got them in gold.
Yes, and I got them in tan.
And you said she was coming from the Bikram yoga
yes,
next door?
Yes, she does yoga next door.
You just assume, or did you actually,
well,
have
she
you
had
seen
the,
her there before?
She had the outfit on, and she had the mat in her cart.
Now, when she was sizing a shoe, did she,
oh
like,
my gosh,
sing
she has
to the shoe?
Tiny feet.
Did she go up to the front desk and be like, can I get this in a blue? No? Okay, between last night's podcast and tonight's podcast,
you're getting a lot
I should
of
really
once
stop
before
singing.
Feeling. Once okay. before feeling.
Can I get this in a blue? No?
Oh, come on.
Anyway,
please,
you had Idina Menzel sighting this yesterday. I might have had a Lea Michele sighting tonight at the BevMo, but I couldn't quite tell. And I was like 50-50 that this was or was not Lea Michele, but I really would have had to get closer because she was in her car texting, and I would have had to get my face right up to
what
the window to verify. It was a Corolla.
Oh, no, because she drives a Mini Cooper.
Well, she wasn't
not
in the driver's
too stalker-ish.
Seat. Yeah, that wasn't stalkerish.
No,
at
but
all.
She told that story. She told that story at Comic-Con. No, it was at the. She told that story somewhere about how on her way to her audition for Glee, she was driving her Mini Cooper and she got in a car accident and she had shards of glass in her hair when she was performing for them.
Now I can something will come up at this point where people who don't live in and around Los Angeles would listen to this conversation and say, that's stupid. Why would Lea Michele ever be driving a Corolla or a Mini Cooper? Obviously, she'd be driving a BMW or an Aston Martin that is, you know, painted like a ladybug. But when you actually live here, you'll be surprised how many television / pseudo-famous people drive crappy cars.
Steve Carell drives a Toyota Highlander.
Conan O'Brien drives a Taurus.
Really?
It's true. Well, he's famous. He is this famous Taurus that he's driven for like 15 years.
It probably
years. Has
enough headroom for his hair.
Not everyone's Leno and Seinfeld. A lot of these people actually drive crappy cars. When I used to work on the Warner Brothers lot, I always walked by the two parking spaces for Charlie Sheen and John Cryer. And John Cryer always drove like a Taurus or a Corolla. And Charlie Sheen always drove shame and hatred of the masses. I'm sorry. No, he always drove something red and like
flashy,
crazily expensive. Yeah, yeah, totally unnecessarily expensive. Nick Cage, when my buddy worked on a movie with Nick Cage, he would drive a different car each week, and he'd park it in the middle of the set so that everyone would have to walk around it and see his
nice
crazy new car. Anyway, totally off topic.
Shoe shopping with Miss Shelby. What's her face?
I had some star sightings myself.
Did you?
Where?
I was pumping gas, and I looked up, and there was Orion's belt. Da-dunch. Anyways.
Star sightings. Oh my god.
Okay, for real, though. I went to the Ely Golden concert, and I got backstage passes, which was exciting.
Wow.
Did you really? How?
But because we were there early, like, and that was exciting. And she's noticed me on Twitter. And stuff.
Aww.
So, but unfortunately, she was sick. So she didn't actually say hi to us because she was sick. But she did tweet me. So, so that's that, which was just as good in my opinion. Like just being tweeted by her, and the fact that she at least kind of notices that I tweet stalk her without getting me kicked out. So it was like both. It was like awesome
nice.
Times three.
Well, let's go ahead. let's bring the conversation back to, sorry, of course.
Hold on. What is this on? What is this on?
We're talking about Britney.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Now his tap break was all we fantasize. Of Snoop Dogg doing jazz, even he won't suffice. Shit as I lay me tied eyes to the sleep. I pray for Naya Rivera as my D-O-double-G. Then we get tats of the whole cast up our back. I'll go, the Chigo, I'll cage her like a monkey rat. To add to my collection, I'd collect some strands of Naya's weave to floss my teeth. Just creep her and me like birds and bees. Should I hook like those thonics? Geo dizzle up a beat. It's like this, no like that, and like this, Anna. Okay, like this, no like this, and like that, Anna. It's like this. Creamsicles are delicious. So just chill till the next episode. Yo, I got Monty on my left.
So that was a bit of Heather Morris rapping in Nothing But a Glee Thing, and then kicks into Ricky Lindholm, who nobody knows, but I've always thought was adorable.
We see her at the store? Saw her at the Ralph's?
Did I see Ricky at the store?
I think we saw her at Ralph's like a week later.
Oh, interesting. I've seen her like Yeah, and she probably lives in the neighborhood. And
she is adorable.
Yeah, she pops up in like random stuff, like a really cheesy Dairy Queen commercial. Anyway, so we're talking a little about Heather Morris tonight and Britney and how the character that came out of nowhere, the character that, like, I mean, as much as Santana, as we talked about before, you know, Santana was a character that people just went, wow, and kind of she grew. I mean, at least Santana was always kind of a character. Like, Britney was a punchline.
And Britney was brought on just to teach some of the cast had to do the single ladies dance because she was one of the backup dancers with Beyonce. So she wasn't even supposed to be on the show.
It's like when we saw the panel.
Luckiest.
When we saw the panel at Comic-Con last year, and she was talking to, I think it was at Comic-Con, when she was talking to Ian Brennan, and Ian Brennan had said, yeah, she came up to me and asked if I should get acting lessons, and I was like, are you freaking crazy?
Don't change a
Don't
thing.
Don't change anything. Do exactly what you're doing. So, you know, it's pretty wild that this character has come out of nowhere. Ed, what do you think was the first time you really noticed Britney on the show? Ed?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose you?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I muted myself. I didn't realize that. I muted myself.
You were just tight.
So I was typing, and people get upset about that. So I was trying to. Britney. The first time I noticed Britney was the football episode, which I am blanking on the name for. But obviously, that was like the first time.
Yeah.
She was like not just there, but she was like a feature of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the first time, you know, because that's when she was dating Kurt, and we had that.
Yeah, exactly, and they had the conversation. You know what's funny about that is Bert had no issue. I mean, I'm not gonna say anything like specific, but it's just funny the contradictoriness of Bert. He was like, when he went downstairs and Kurt was making out with Britney, or when Kurt was dancing with Britney, he was like, he had like no issue with it.
This is like the conversation that will never die.
I know. I'm not trying to say it was like a thing, but it was kind of like, it was kind of a thing.
Honestly, I think if Bert had gone downstairs in the morning and the two of them were in their bathrobes, I think he would have had an issue.
Yeah, it was a totally different situation.
I know, but you're right. You're completely right. Yeah. I'm just saying, I'm not even saying it's like a gay thing at all. I'm just saying it's contradictory writing. That's what it is. It's nothing else.
But it's not. But we've talked about this a ton of times. It's not contradictory writing, because the difference is that in one of them, the dude stayed the night and slept in his bed, and in the other one, they were making out in the basement in the middle of the day.
And if anything, his father already knew that he was gay, so he was totally shocked more than anything. I don't think he was like happy or... Not that he wasn't happy, but I don't think that his overwhelming emotion was, oh my god, thank goodness, you know, he's with a girl. I think it was just like, oh, okay, and then okay, so he left. I mean, that was my impression. And
you're right,
the writers
are
very inconsistent. We have to go back to that.
That's also true.
The episode was called Preggers, for the record, which is
it
why
was.
I can't
oh, was
remember
it?
It
that was because the single ladies football dance one?
yeah
it was episode 4, which is like it because it's
holy
so crazy, because with how the episodes flow and how we get to them and how we, like, like my mind, I'm sure this happens to other people. It can't just be me. My mind, like, assesses things differently. Like, I'm like, oh, this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And I somehow envision it over, like, three episodes. And then when I actually watch the episode, like, it, like, all happened that episode. I'm like, whoa. Because I usually, like, especially in the beginning, I was, like, I spent the entire week, like, cashing out everything that happened. And it's like that one episode was consuming an entire week of my life. I don't know.
Well, the other thing, too, is that not all of the characters' storylines run at the same pace. So
exactly.
I think that's the other reason that the timelines are so messed up.
Yeah. Well, we also know a little bit about Heather, that she was born in Thousand Oaks, California, which is a city that I quite like. But she was raised in Scottsdale, Arizona, which is a city I really don't care for.
I've never been.
But, you know, that's kind of exciting. According to Wikipedia, she began dancing at the age of one. Is that just something people say?
Stumbling with grace.
Yeah, I think that's just something people say. You know, her arms move slowly to a rhythm.
Well, I mean, our friend's kid, every time she walks, she points her toes. I think she's kind of a natural dancer.
And she's of Scottish heritage on her mother's side, or father's side. So you can use that however you like. The one thing that I learned that was kind of interesting is she auditioned for So You Think You Can Dance in season two. And apparently she made it to, I don't watch So You Think You Can Dance, but quote, The Green Mile. But
I assume that's
20.
The equivalent of Hollywood Round.
I see Michael nodding. Like that, yeah. You watch that show? So what would that be equivalent like in, say, American Idol? Is that like Hollywood Week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
So I called it. Whatever.
Thank you.
There you go. And her big break came in 2007 when cool. She was with Beyonce, and she actually performed with Beyonce quite a bit. I mean, she did like the AMAs, and I think she did like Saturday Night Live even. And of course, some people say you can see her in the background of the video, though I've never actually tried to watch the single.
Well,
later's
well, I remember early interview with Britney and Mercedes, their Amber Riley and Heather Morris, like. Amber's like, oh, I know who you are. I have the Beyonce World Tour DVD. I remember that like as a direct quote from Amber P. Riley.
That's cool.
And she got onto the show through the choreographer, Zach Woodley. Apparently she had a small role in Fired Up, which is a movie I've never seen.
It's one of the cheerleading ones, right?
It's the cheerleading one,
okay.
Yeah. It's about cheerleaders.
One of
the cheerleader.
There's Stick It and...
Oh, you think Bring It On.
Bring It On. No, yeah. But there was Stick It.
Stick It was...
I love
acrobats.
All Westerns in any movie set against a cheerleading backdrop.
Gymnastics.
Oh, cheerleaders. Okay, whatever.
What'd you say, Ed?
Said, I love Westerns in any movie set against a cheerleading backdrop. Just quoting a bit of Modern Family. Love Phil Dunphy. Can I say... I'm just going to say it. I'm not even going to ask you. So it was announced today that Gaga is going to appear on an upcoming episode of Modern Family.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
That'll be fun. That'll be a lot. I love that show.
That is a great show. So of course it turned out we got much more of Britney over time, but she actually became kind of a character after a while, and we don't know anything about Britney's home life. Like
we know what she tells us. They aren't that poor or that rich. We know that.
How do we know that, Ed?
Because their house was nice, but they couldn't afford a multi-million dollar thing for Artie. So not poor, not rich.
And they love her dearly and want to protect her.
And they bought
thus
a pink,
the perpetuation
they bought a,
of the belief
like
in
pink,
Santa.
Oh.
Pink Christmas tree, so that was nice. So they have style.
That's true. I mean, she doesn't seem to want for anything except for brain cells to rub together. Yeah, not on television. Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about Britney. You know, she's obviously kind of the Phoebe of the show. Every show needs one. But do you think Britney's actually that stupid, Jennifer, or do you think she's kind of putting on an act or just not, you know, trying very hard?
Well, I stupid just seems so mean. There's definitely a naivete about her that she's wants to believe the best in everybody and everything. I mean, think about like when when Kurt's dad got sick, and she did that book report. And it's like, you know, she's like, I did this book report on heart attacks, and, you know, I heart attacks are just, you know, from loving too much or something like that. I forget exactly what her quote was, but there's just like an eternal goodness in her. So, does that make her a bit dumb-witted? Yes. I do not believe it's an act. I just think that she's very comfortable believing that the world is a wonderful, perfect, magical, shiny place. And as a result, you have to kind of, you know, make up things to make that all possible.
It's an interesting way to look at it. Ed, how do you feel? Do you think that Britney is just straight up stupid?
No, definitely not. It's more like blissfully ignorant. It's like Britney culminates all the desires that people have for their children, that like they want them to see the best in people, they want them to truly believe in their potential, and they want them to be happy and not be corrupted by the evils of the world. So Britney is an idealistic character.
That's
not
really
dumb.
Sweet. And yeah, an idealistic 4-year-old.
Yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Well, so we have gotten more of her over the time. Of course, we had a Britney episode where they likened her to Britney Spears, and we opened up with Slave for You.
She doesn't like Britney Spears.
No. And
she's
Ed,
tired of being compared.
Why doesn't she like Britney Spears?
Because her name's Britney S. Pierce? Duh.
they must have come up with that specifically for that episode.
No, okay. Well, the work for it had been already there. Like, we didn't know what her last name was, and in the thunderclap when they had everyone's name, even Santana Lopez's and Quinn Fabrey's, and like every Britney was listed as just Britney. So they may have not completely decided upon it, but it was, they're like, they just like introduced her as Britney, like, oh, Britney, she's gonna come and go, it's not gonna matter. And so she just kept saying, they're like, oh, maybe we should actually do something with this.
Well, it was kind of funny, like, you know, to give her a last name almost gave her too much credit. Like, this character was just too simple to have a last name at first. not like, well, there just wasn't that, you know, she just
was
a very simple person.
It's kind of like in Gilmore Girls, the character of Kurt was originally just an extra in episode 1 of Gilmore Girls, and then he became a main character by season 3. So I love Gilmore Girls. I miss that show. In other news,
Jennifer.
But I think Britney just going by the one name also kind of makes her iconic, just like it makes Britney Spears, you know?
Yeah.
Britney, think, Madonna, but, Edward. You know, it's like all these people that are you.
Did you really put Edward in there? Wow.
No.
Yes. No, that's cool. No judging on this side of the table, but no, I mean, I think like, because she was, her trademark was just, you know, these very, dumb, adorable, memorable one-liners. So I think just, you know, having her just be Britney kind of added to that iconic nature of the character.
Yeah. It's a, you know, and one of the things that really kind of came to be Britney's trademark was she always had the lines, you know, there, at least once an episode we had that line that was going to be the Britney joke, and we don't really get them as much anymore. And now that she's become more of a character,
we don't
get the one-liners that we used to get.
Now the one-liners are bouncing between Santana, Britney, Rachel, sometimes Kurt, sometimes Becky, like the one,
and
the
Finn.
the significant funny one-liners are just bouncing around now. It's not that they're gone, they're just around.
Well, no,
but I mean, there's a difference between the one-liners that you get from characters like Kurt than, you know, Britney always had that non sequitur. You know, I think my cat is reading my diary is a line that no one else on the show would have ever said, but for a while that's all Britney got. You know, Britney would get, sometimes I add a teaspoon of sand, and that became, you know, I can't name what, you know, great one-liners from almost any other character, but I can name a dozen from Britney. Jennifer?
Well, I mean, actually, Finn has been starting to get a couple of them, just because he has such little you know, real plot going on right now. But I mean, I'm sorry. Ooh, Scary Quinn is kind of one of my recent favorites.
He often has, to Finn's credit, he often has the ones that are very self-aware within the show. Yeah. You know, Finn was the guy who said, is the band always here? You know? Or like, when did the band get here? You know, Finn seems to be the one who kind of is aware that he is in a television show.
Yeah.
Whereas Brittany always got the goofy ones. You know, which you asked the question on Twitter, Ed, is what are people's favorite lines from Brittany? And, of course, Do You Know Dolphins Are Just Gay Sharks is probably
I didn't even want to mention that one because it's so... It's like such a greatest hit. It's not even worth the time to mention. Like, everyone knows. Everyone knows.
That's probably...
All right, I'll think of another, Ed.
That's probably the one that most people remember. And the duck is in the hat was the other one.
The duck is in the hat. See, that one's quirky enough to still be okay to mention.
Yeah, or a ballad.
Ballad. Male duck.
Ballard.
Ballard.
Yeah. Am I saying it right?
A ballard discovered
Boston.
Titanic.
I do not know how to say... What? I don't know how to say that word. A ballad. Ballad?
There you go. Oh. You were almost there.
A ballad
you
is a male duck.
So, yes, we...
I'm going to stop now.
I was going to put it out to you guys, but I'll, to give you a second to think about it, I will give a little bit more from the listeners. Becky GGXOXO. Hey, her favorite line was, "It works best when you pretend like you're getting tasered. It's like cool epilepsy."
from the hair / crazy hair in love mashup.
Yeah, exactly. Salsagasm, which I don't know what that screen name means, but as much as I understand it, it's hilarious.
Oh, I thought that was a line.
What?
I don't remember that line.
I feel like I remember.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't remember Salsagasm.
This user pulled up from when... Mr. Schuster introduced Jonathan Groff, and she said, "Mr. Shue, is he your son?"
Love
that. That was a great moment, right?
Love that.
Of course, the duck is in the hat from Missy Wills. MJ Halloran had the Dolphins Are Just Gay Sharks. Joey's Baby 956 had the leg warmers on her arms. That was a great... That was such a great moment. From those, from that period. But I think... Oh, wait, what did we have here?
I'm trying to incorporate them into my wardrobe now.
I am Floyd's mom. I totally forgot about this one. I had Floyd's mom had Mr. Shue saying, "Can somebody tell me what a duet is?" And she said, "A blanket." I totally forgot about that one.
That? Wow. That must have been so subtle. That's awesome.
I don't even remember that line.
Yeah, so. No, that was a great one.
That's awesome.
But a couple people, including Marina and I Am Floyd's mom, I would have to say they brought up my favorite when Kurt says, "So what are you guys going for Halloween?" And she said, "I'm going as a peanut allergy."
Nice.
Or maybe rabies for Christmas. That was a pretty good one, too. Ed, do you have a favorite that we haven't mentioned?
I was pretty sure Dr. Pepper was a dentist. this room looks like the spaceship where I got probed.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's Brittany. Bitch.
Yes.
Like, she has her moments. I mean, obviously. So.
Yes. Jennifer, can you think of a favorite Brittany line off the top of your head?
Honestly, I think they've all been mentioned, but...
Oh, no, there's one good one. I can give it to you.
Go ahead. No, go.
Okay, when I pulled my hamstring,
I went to a misogynist.
There you go, yes.
They're really all so great. And I mean, and the thing is, the lines are really funny on their own, but it's so much of the credit goes to her delivery on it, because she's just so perfectly innocent and convinced. I mean, like, I still go back to the, you know, dolphins are really gay sharks. It's the conviction in her face.
Yeah.
You know, she really believes it.
Like, yeah. She's convinced that what she's saying is correct.
Well, and the context surrounding that line, you know, where they were at Breadsticks, it was the end of a scene, and she just throws this line away.
It has nothing to do with anything.
It's a total throwaway. Exactly. The context is that there is no context, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah.
I think, you know... The cat's reading my diary.
Yeah.
When she says, "I forgot how to leave." Like, well, that one has a little bit of
that
context.
And that one was almost a little bit too.
That one was just an excuse to get Brittany
up.
Dance. I swear.
Yes.
Yeah.
They wanted to get her in the "You Can't Touch This" line or in the number.
But I mean, so I guess it's not like a particular line, but I do think back on the Christmas episode, and I think about her as, you know, sort of Cindy Lou Who and, confronting, meeting up with Sue Sylvester and not even knowing it's her. And I don't know. There's just those moments, like the whole Christmas episode with her, especially when she was, going to Santa and saying, I asked Santa, for my boyfriend to walk. And that just, that her never ending hope and optimism, and that's the thing that I think really gets me about Brittany. Because there isn't a mean bone in her body. There isn't a mean or calculating bone compared to everybody else. Every single other person has an ulterior motive, except for Brittany.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, she does seem to be, that's kind of her redeeming quality, is that she is so pure of heart amidst all the silliness and such. Well, she hasn't performed too many times vocally on the show, though, of course, her dancing has been the showcase of many numbers. But we do have TikTok, so we'll go ahead and take a quick listen to TikTok. Here's this one.
Hit the city before I leave, brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. Cause when I leave for the night, I ain't coming back. I'm talking pedicure on our toes, trying on all our clothes. Boys blowing up our phones. Drop top and playing our favorite CDs. Going up to the parties, trying to get a little bit tipsy. Don't stop, make it pop. DJ, blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick tock on the clock, but the party don't stop. No.
Well, there's not much more to say about Heather and Brittany, though I did find some random factoids on the internet, on the interwebs, on the tubes. In January 2010, Morris and her co-stars won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble Comedy Series. Later that year, Brittany and Santana were nominated for Favorite Fictional Lesbian Couple at the AfterEllen.com Visibility Awards.
So. Very nice. It's because she likes those sweet lady kisses.
Yes, so we'll have to see if that develops. And in December 2010, Morris was named the Celebrity Style Ambassador for Flirt Cosmetics, an Estee Lauder cosmetics line.
Oh, was that the magazine ad she had hanging up in her locker when Rachel was trying to get her to... Wait,
I don't.
Part of the show, or is this a real thing?
This is a real thing.
Oh, okay. Okay, so remember with the episode when Rachel was trying to get Brittany to emulate Rachel, but then Brittany was actually, becoming the trendsetter?
Yes.
At one point, Rachel confronts her at the locker, and then Brittany has her locker open, and then there's like a picture of like Teen Magazine or something, and it's Brittany there, and she's on the cover taking credit for being this style icon. All right,
are you talking about the scene where like who wears unicorns on their shirt,
and she's like it's a carousel.
Rachel's like,
horse,
you guys, no, these are carousel horses,
exactly.
I'm like, oh my god, yeah. Becky, look at her.
And of course Brittany is one half of Britannia, which is the great portmanteau, which I apparently, according to shipper. Yes, this is a new word I learned, boys and girls. Shipping. I did not know this
shipper.
Concept.
Shipper. Yeah.
A shipper is the blended name. Like we're Berlane. That's our shipper.
I ship Berlane. Yes, I do. That's what apparently.
You don't have to put it into grammatical context. Our shipper is Berlane. That's all.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I was told
we
that I was
a
supposed
for
to ship
me
things.
And Ed. No,
I know, right? There needs to be an Ed Jen shipping. Where's the fan fiction?
Wow,
where's the fan fiction?
Jened? No, I don't want to see this fan fiction.
I think it would be Jed.
No, it's just
Jed.
Jend. Jend.
Jend. Ah, that's not bad.
That's quite the blending there.
Well, I think that's a bit all we have for Heather Morris, guys. Jennifer, do you have anything else about Brittany to mention before we go?
Nope.
Ed, do you have anything else for Brittany before we go?
Yes. Heather Morris. This isn't actually Brittany. It's Heather Morris. Heather Morris is a person. Whenever I watch videos from the paparazzi, mm-hmm. trying to stalk the Glee kids, whatever. Heather Morris is actually the only person that actually legitimately takes the time to talk to them.
Really?
So, huh. So I like Heather Morris as a person.
Huh.
That's so cool. she goes out of her way. She's like, I'm not filming a scene right now. I'll talk to you about, I can't give you any spoilers, but I can talk to you anyways. So
that's interesting. I've never heard that about her.
Yeah, I actually haven't seen a lot of, if the thing about like clips or just little things I've seen on TMZ, I've never really seen them approach any of the actors from Glee. So I mean, that's what I think of when I think of paparazzi approaching
Glee,
them.
Like the people, the Glee kids are really not talking, they avoid them at all costs. But Heather goes out of the way, is a nice person. So,
she gets points for being a nice person.
Yeah, and she's an amazing dancer and just really happy she's a great part of the show now.
Yeah.
True.
Well, in honor of Brittany, and as a warning, I probably should have put this at the beginning of the show, not 40 minutes into it. But in honor of Brittany, we've been talking about doing a Gleeful t-shirt for quite a while, and our Gleeful t-shirt is in honor of Brittany. It's going to go up on the website in the next 24 hours, so keep an eye out for that, and you will be able to purchase the Gleeful t-shirt. And we're just going to be doing pre-orders right now because I wanted to be able to show it to you guys in right around the time of the Brittany episode or where we talk about Brittany. So you can go to the website in the next 24 hours, sometime Friday, and we will be releasing the Gleeful t-shirt in honor of Brittany. The t-shirt is entitled, I gave it the title, it's called Brittany Bingo. So get excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, Jennifer knows what that means.
I'm very excited. Ed, you've seen it, right?
Yes, I have. It is adorable.
Aww.
For real.
So we're very excited about that. Go check that out. And, it should be, I'm doing everything in my power to make it very affordable because I know people are, we're normal people. Yeah. So check out that.
A little bit of a splurge.
That's exciting. But that also means that I had to make crazy changes to the website to be able to accommodate sales. So the website is going to go through some dramatic changes in the next couple days, and you're all going to be tweeting me, Josh, fix this. And it's getting fixed, I promise.
I didn't utilize that as much as I should have.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it does look different. I'm going to the site. It doesn't even look like it used
It already change?
I haven't seen
it. Oh, good. That didn't work at all. Okay, well.
Well, it changed. I don't know if it was what you intended, but yeah. It's different.
Yeah, now it does. No, there you go. Yeah, it's nothing now. It just says a GoDaddy page. So I'm going to fix that in the next couple minutes and get excited about that. But yes, so the website is going to change a little bit, and we're going to have the t-shirt for sale in the next 24 hours. So get excited about that. And Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
I would love to, but before that. I want to remind people that the Warbler CD comes out April 19th. And yes. And I heard the unreleased songs, and the song that I was excited for, after listening to it, I was disappointed.
Oh.
Number two.
Do you want to give the title of it, or are you going to leave that as a...
We'll leave it as a surprise.
No, and spoiler-free... Okay. Next point, I read an interview with Ian Brennan, who's obviously one of the writers of Glee, and he was like, so why it's so funny, he's like, they're asked like, why do characters like Mercedes and Tina, it was specifically asked about Tina, like, mm-hmm. where has Tina been lately on the show? And then his response was, I hear this about every single character on the show at some point or another, but I promise there'll be more Tina and Mercedes in the upcoming episodes. So it's funny that the question was about Tina. So obviously that was in the answer, but in his answer he was like, he said, everyone, I hear that about all the characters, but he specifically mentioned Tina and Mercedes. So it was kind of funny. He's like, obviously they know that there's a little bit of an issue with that. And the April 26th episode of Lee, it's been, we were hinting at this, the Born This Way episode.
Yes.
Has been officially extended to 90 minutes.
Wow.
So that is exciting.
That is exciting.
That'll be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot to discuss on that one.
So that's exciting. And now we're going to get to some iTunes reviews. Thank you for iTunes reviewing us. BK Ninja, Michael Carey, maybe related to Mariah, who knows. Paris Hardy, maybe related to Paris Hilton, probably not. Mirabee, 63, Tay Tay, Jess4501, Melanie Grossi, Glee Lover 13, you're in the right place. Mirafil, Sproutly D, and Rummage Cow, Alex Elise Alvarez, biggest BTR fan, big time rush, lol. Idle Wild, Haven Mum, Evdon, Gretel 120, Sci-C 123, Shorty 40, Kissa 2. Thank you so much for reviewing us, and I read them all, I promise.
Thank you, Ed, and
email us and Facebook us, and
also want to throw out a huge, like, crazy thank you to one of our listeners created a fan site for the podcast.
Oh yes, which is crazy.
Which is crazy. There's an official Gleeful Fans Twitter/Gleeful Fans. So check that out. And how amazing is that? So go ahead and give some love over there if you would like to. And then on Twitter, you can find us at Gleeful Podcast, and we want to thank a couple of our new Twitter followers. Eventing is Love, Christy E. Wright, Gleeful Fans, of course. And let's see, a couple new ones, that people who joined us this, or said things this week. Marina 2, Anidia is a new one. And yes, and I think that's it. So that's pretty much it for us for the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Annette. I'm Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except when the monsoon just strikes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Darren Chris discussion next week. Send in your stuff. Thanks. Bye.